Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Ticket Texter says that was a dominant performance by the Lions. The only reason it wasn't a blowout, defensive penalties, and many of those were ref nitpicking calls. Texter says Tim Patrick played hell of a game, should get some love this morning. Great addition, could slide into the Josh Reynolds role. He looked good last night. Not long ago, we were saying if our defense is just average, we'd be a serious threat. Guys, I think we're there. JC and Allen Park.
Yeah, and I mean, you could say they were average last night, and you could say there were some things that, yes, they need to improve upon, but they did what they had to do to give the Lions a chance to win. And in the first two wins, they were the story. The first three games, they were the story about how much better they are this year versus last year.
Yeah, big picture, the defense is better than I thought they'd be through 4 weeks. Even last night, I know they were giving up a lot of first downs and raw yardage. They got three straight stops to close the game. They forced multiple turnovers. They were on the field a lot in that second half, and it's also just a bad matchup. No Brian Branch, a team that's just X's and O's, had success against Detroit. And for all the griping about the defense yesterday, they won by 13 points. There's just no reason to be miserable today. That was as fun a badass football game, badass in those black uniforms. But that opinion on the uniforms is not shared on this show. It's not unanimous on this show. As Greg put it before the show, he doesn't like the blacks. Uniforms. Yes. Greg?
I did not find them appealing to watch from an on-television broadcast standpoint. The blue on black, there's not enough contrast there. And so it's displeasing to the eye to see that. The silver on the blue, the blue jerseys with the white name and numerals, and the silver breeches with the blue stripe really pop, and they stand out, and they accent every part of the uniform. I thought the blue on black, there's a little bit blurring of the contrast between those two things, so I didn't find it that appealing to see on television and to see it, watch it play out on a game. And maybe this is part of my like play-by-play broadcaster kind of kicking in, where it'd be difficult to read names and
the numbers. Yeah.
Didn't find it as appealing as others did.
So I love the new blue jerseys like you do, and the numbers pop. The it just looks so clean and sharp. Love it. And from a broadcast standpoint too, makes it very easy to see. But as a home broadcast, You get really familiar with guys that where they run, how they catch, how they play, all that stuff. So you don't really need to see the numbers quite as well. I thought the black uniforms looked awesome. I'm not a huge fan of messing with uniforms. I am very much a traditionalist when it comes to that. But if you're going to have an alternate uniform, please, please, please have an alternate helmet that goes well with that uniform. The black stripe, the black lion on the helmet, I thought was just awesome.
Yeah, I thought it popped. Like it's awesome. It's a deep black color with the blue that I think almost like it pops
off
the screen.
As opposed to a lighter black?
Thank you, Stoney.
248-539-9797. We'll get some reactions, uniforms, the game itself, the offense finally getting their swagger back, the defense doing enough. What do you got?
Uniform-wise, I told you guys that that's one of the few things my wife spontaneously said during the game. Like, she really liked the uniforms, but really liked the helmets, like in terms of the way they popped and stuff. So I got to say Greg's in the wrong here.
Yeah.
It's usually like what your guys' significant others think about it.
Kelsey likes them.
I don't know that Lisa even commented on it last night. It wasn't, like I said, the uniforms aren't a topic of conversation in our house.
We got to stick to football.
Yeah. I'm just, I do let her talk.
You see that cap?
Yeah, some people think
I let her talk.
With the people that would be awful to watch a game with me because you don't want the kids to talk. You'll let your wife talk. No, we do have conversations about the game.
You have the all 22, don't you?
I just don't like listening to some of the announcers talk.
What did Lisa think of the run blocking?
She thought it was great. She loved the Alcatraz play that it's being called. Loved that one. So Amon-Ra St. Brown went to her high school. So anytime Amon-Ra St. Brown does something, I hear about modern day and all this stuff, which is it's fine. But David Montgomery is on her fantasy team. So he breaks off that 40-yard pass, and obviously that brought her out of her seat. That's my guy!
Well, now you brought up fantasy. I was dealing with that last night. Sam has Montgomery and Connor has Gibbs. Mm-hmm. That was... How come the other one's not getting the ball, like complaining like every time? I'm like, seriously, can we watch the game?
Right.
Watch the game?
And there's room for both these guys. Like, it's the best running back duo in the NFL. They're going to keep each other fresh. They can run all the same stuff with both of them in the game. Gibbs with two red zone touchdowns. It's not just Montgomery. And Montgomery catching the ball. Like, they are interchangeable in that way. Let's get to the phones. We've got Jason in Farmington Hills. Jason, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to touch on two things. First, in terms of the defense letting up a lot of points, and especially in the second half, if you really think about it, they let up a touchdown at halftime, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the third quarter, I think the defense was on the field for 12 or 13 minutes of that quarter. So they were gassed. So I'm not really going to blame the defense there at all. Tarion needs to fix a few things, which I believe he will, and Aaron Glenn will help him. And the second thing I wanted to discuss was, I think David Montgomery is the low-key MVP of our team. I think what that guy brings to the run game is special. I think it's a perfect 1-2 punch with him and Gibbs. And that catch that he had, I mean, just to stuff that defender, continue on for 40 yards, that was something special.
He's a tone setter. There's no question about it. You have certain guys on your team that are tone setters. And we saw it last week when he was, you know, trying to get extra yardage. Now, all of a sudden, when he's fighting for that extra yardage, the offensive line joins in and they actually pick him up and carry him for 5 yards. He's laughing. But it is the tone that he sets when you have a play like that. And you square off with Devin Witherspoon. You knock him on his butt. And you go for 40 yards when it should have been a 2-yard loss, that's a tone setter.
I agree with you, tone setter. It's a great observation. You know what this he reminds me of is what James Edwards used to do for the Pistons back in the day. They would get him the ball in the first quarter, post up, and it would open up everything else. And that's what David Montgomery does for the offense.
Yeah.
Matt in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Good.
So I just wanted to call and say, so like last year we knew that the defense was lacking a little bit, and this year, like we were saying, you guys were just saying, the first three games the defense looked way better than it did last year. But last night they lacked a little bit, but the offense stepped up when we needed them to, and I just think that shows that that's what your contenders do. Because the same thing with Kansas City, their defense sometimes falters, and what happens? Mahomes and Kelsey make miraculous things happen, and they win, and that just kind of seems like where this team is going, and it shows that we're true Super Bowl contenders out here.
I do think that it highlighted the fact that this team, going into the season, a lot of us talked about the expectation is the Super Bowl. Not just a visit to the Super Bowl, but a win. And last night it showed that they are a team that is going to be a one of the very few that you think can win the Super Bowl.
And Matt, what I think too is you got to be able to win different ways. So we knew they had the offensive firepower because all of last year they did, and they brought most of those guys back. You knew they were going to have a game eventually where they exploded, and to do it on Monday night against the Nemesis to win by double digits in fun, convincing fashion. It's awesome. And to feel like your defense is better than a year ago, and if you need to win an ugly kind of grinded out game, they've already banked a couple of those wins this season. It feels like, yeah, they could go in the playoffs and match up with whatever kind of game they need to play. And I think that's what builds the confidence that this team can win the Super Bowl, because you're going to have to beat all kinds of different teams. I mean, if you get to the Super Bowl, think about the teams in the AFC, the different styles of a Baltimore or a Kansas City or a Buffalo. Even, you know, if the Bengals caught fire and they've been to a Super Bowl, different styles. Can you win different kind of games? This team's showing it a month into the season.
They are, and they can win multiple ways, and they can do it offensively. They can do it defensively. Now, when both sides are humming along, and it's going to take some time, but you want to be playing your best football in weeks 16, 17, 18, leading into the playoffs. And if they're able to remain healthy enough or have the guys that are on the roster that step in at a moment's notice to play like they did last night, now all of a sudden you get into the playoffs, and there are other teams that are fearful of drawing the Lions in the postseason.
Texter says, offense was fire last night. Defense gave up 500 yards. Hard to win games in the NFL, but we'll take it. Still, defense has to figure out how to get pressure and contain mobile quarterbacks on those third downs in that second half of the game. DG in Fenton. Ticket Texter's on the uniforms. Whatever, nerd. Those black and blue unis looked sweet on the broadcast. Greg, your TV must be messed up. Time to retire that TV from college. LOL.
What'd they look like in person? What'd they look like in the stadium? If you were sitting at Ford Field and they ran out with the new unis on, I want to know what it looks like. I've had one individual text me and said that, you know, they were there. First of all, the atmosphere was great. They look sweet. But I want to hear some more feedback, what they were like in person. Because on TV, I thought it was badass.
More thoughts coming up next. 248-539-9797 on the uniforms, on the game, on the message it sends to you as a fan about what this football team is capable of. TJ Lang at 902. Dan Dickerson. Yeah, we got to talk a little baseball today. Playoff game later today. Dickerson joins us at 8:35. It's 97.1.
I've been telling you all about injury attorney David Femininio and his amazing team for some time now. Just listen to some of the results that that team and David have been able to get for injured clients. $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another, $11.5 million for a client. You need an attorney that will fight relentlessly for you and get results just like that. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That's 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're on display, the black uniforms, primetime, Monday Night Lions win. Having a good time today. Asking about the game, the uniforms, all of it. TJ will join us at 9:02. Summer helmet is just... Come on. Stone. We got to be very careful here. We don't need people from the suburbs calling in saying they don't like the blacks, okay? We're talking uniforms. Let's be very careful here. Tom, your mic's not on.
Rodrigo, nice sack last night. Okay. All in.
All right. Let's get to Jeff and Hudson. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, I was watching the defense play last night at the end of the game. I was noticing, man, you know, all the clutching and grabbing that they were doing, they were gassed. And I got to looking at time of possession. We had the ball 26 minutes compared to their 34. And seven of it was that first scoring drive that we had. The rest of it, 19 minutes, they were out there all the time.
And I think it was a huge factor. Yeah.
That was a huge factor. And I think the clutching and grabbing and the tiredness, they were wiped out. We just scored way too fast. I mean, I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
But I think some of them drives, I mean, J-Mo with a 70-yard catch, I think that was one play.
Yes, it was. It was a one-play drive. Yeah.
Yep. The defense was straight back out there again, and they were just wiped out.
Yeah. To start the second half, it was a five-minute drive for Seattle. Now, the defense should have been fresh coming out of halftime. But
right.
Then it's a five-play, 70 yards for the Lions. It only took 2 minutes, 50 seconds. Defense is back out there for another 4 minutes. They allow a touchdown. And then J-Mo goes one play, 70 yards, 11 seconds. They're not taking any time off the clock, or at least as much as Seattle is doing. They're scoring quickly.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think you're right about it, Jeff. I think it's not an excuse. It's an explanation for what happened in that third quarter. Somebody said time of possession. I have not done the math. Second half was 15:59 to 4:59.
To start the second half?
No. Like the second half time of possession.
Well, there's 30 minutes.
Okay, this is early in the fourth quarter. They showed a graphic of Seattle. So
So it's the first 20 minutes or so of the second half. Sure, yeah.
To where you're on the field a lot. At the end of the day, though, the defense got 3 straight stops in the fourth quarter, even though they were gassed, even though they didn't have Brian Branch. And I think you could listen. You want to call in and be bummed about the defense, or you could point out that they scored 42 points, won by double digits. Like, just don't be miserable today. That'd be my advice. Just don't be miserable, because I think the defense has still been a positive for the first month of the season. It is an option to not be miserable.
It is. It's a conscious decision.
It's a 3-1 football team. It's not got a quick phone call. Tom in Royal Oak, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Thanks for having me on this morning. First of all, I wanted to say, big fan of the blacks. I love the blues and the whites, too, but big fan of the blacks. Wanted to make that very clear.
Mm-hmm.
But I was curious to hear you guys' take on this. I don't have much to complain about the offense. I think Ben Johnson sticking around this year is absolutely huge, and he's such a crucial part of this team. And it was a Ben Johnson masterclass the last 2 weeks, honestly. But I'm curious about what you think about having Montgomery stay out there after that 40-yard reception where he ran over Witherspoon, went down the field. When you have Gibbs on the sideline, I mean, you have two elite running backs here. I'm curious as to why you think it's managed that way. I know maybe they thought Montgomery was in a rhythm, but why not put Gibbs out there after Montgomery runs for 40 yards?
Momentum, energy. I understand probably a little bit tired from that run, but there's some juice to how it happened.
Yeah.
Running over Witherspoon and then going for 40 yards. Now that's all, added to Jared Goff's total. It's not a run. So you look and you say, well, David Montgomery only ran 12 times for 40 yards. Well, add in the reception of 40 yards and he had 80 total yards in the game. But there's something to be said, especially for David Montgomery and operates. He is a guy that he can, yes, he can get tired. And there are times where you do take him out. But then you hand him the ball, and he is just better every single time because now you've got some momentum, and he gets in the huddle, and guys feed off of what he just did.
We're going to get Dan Dickerson in the mix, talk some Tiger baseball at 8:35. First, Heather, what's going on in the news?
Did you guys hear about this, how the plot has kind of thickened over the fate of Shohei Ohtani's 50th home run ball?
I didn't
see that. There's another fan who has now filed a lawsuit stating that he is the rightful owner of this milestone ball. Yes,
no, I'm the rightful owner.
No, I saw it on TV. I should have it.
John, you caught it, right?
Yeah. No, I caught it.
Yes, yes.
I had it first. My hand touched it first. You grabbed it from me. That's basically what this is, right? So this guy, 32 years old from Florida, he's not only seeking ownership of the ball, he has asked for an injunction preventing the ball from being sold, right? And then he's also asking for damages of more than $50,000. Now, the lawsuit states that this guy, Joseph Davidoff, was the first person to have possession of the ball. He said he had possession of the ball, and then a fan wrongfully jumped over the railing, jumped into him and into his arm, attacked him for this ball, and because of that, he lost control of it and yada, 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 right? Somebody else got it, and that's the end of the story. Anyway, he says, or his lawyer, or the lawsuit says that he would have retained control and possession of this ball if it were not for the assault of the unknown fan who jumped onto him. So, another lawsuit, another saga.
Hot thickens.
Continues. Yep. Yes, exactly. Oh, horrendous story. A woman in Spain was tragically gored to death by a bull gone wild during this town festival, and the whole thing was caught on camera. So in the video, you can see this woman, 60 years old. She's in a red outfit crossing the street, kind of like completely unaware of what was going on around her before a bull charges at her from behind, sending her crashing to the ground. Basically, she went flying into the air, crashed the pavement, and she suffered this nasty injury to like her armpit area from the bull's horns. Now, the mayor says that the town is in a state of shock, and a lot of people there are like really obviously upset by this incident, but they're saying, where were the safety measures? How could this woman just unknowingly be crossing a street, not knowing that there's this big event with bulls running wild, that there should have been more safety measures in place? I got another gruesome, horrific story that apparently happened in real life because it was just documented in a medical journal. There's a guy in Austria who reportedly chopped off his own penis with an axe after eating a whole bunch of magic mushrooms.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So according to reports, this guy, 37 years old, he was alone at his vacation home at the time. He had 4 to 5 individual dried mushrooms, hallucinated, right? And then bam, this, why he did it, you know, obviously, who knows what he was picturing in his head, chopped everything off, arrived at the hospital 5 hours later, and he had his manhood in a jar filled with snow.
Well, so you gotta keep it cold, sure.
Yes, exactly. And I guess the good news out of all of this is that doctors were able to reattach the severed organ, and the guy has no memory of everything that went on.
Until
how
he
they
looks
figured it
down.
Out. Well, yeah. But he doesn't really remember the whole thing.
Oh, my goodness.
You read this and you're like, this is real life? This really happened?
Yeah.
It did. It did.
I mean, they'd have to warm it up, right? To allow for shrinkage?
John, deeply uncomfortable.
Yes, all of it. Also, guys, no need to worry, okay? You can put your worries to the side. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are still going strong.
Oh.
So Swift, yes, I know, right? I know you were really concerned because she's been a no-show at Kelce's past 2 games, and some eyebrows have been raised that perhaps the two are calling it quits.
She just doesn't care enough.
Well, there was the rumor of that breakup contract,
right,
that September 28th would have been the day they were going to break up. Plus, of course, all this drama that she's the reason behind how he's performing in the game. Anyway, that has nothing to do with it, according to sources. She has just been busy rehearsing for the restart of her Eras tour, which kicks off again on October 18th in Miami. Plus, it's apparently way more difficult for her to attend games that are not at Arrowhead Stadium because of security concerns and things like that.
How long? I mean, this Eras tour is actually covering Eras.
It is.
Like, how long is this tour going?
I don't know. I know she, like, added some shows on. So
yeah, or years.
It's good money.
Yeah.
It's great money.
Yeah.
It's Heather with the news. All right, we got Dan Dickerson coming up next. Get the latest on the Tigers as they get set for the playoffs later today at 2:30. AJ Hinch may have given us a playoff slogan. We'll get to that at 8:50, plus Dan Campbell's locker room speech after the win. TJ Lang at 9:02. It's 97.1.
Hey, looking for ways to level up your fitness? Well, the YMCA is always welcoming new members with no contract and no joiner fees. I'm loving the YMCA family membership with access to indoor pools, Les Mills Group Fitness, hundreds of machines, all with free child watch while you work out, and for less than $3 a day. And today, you can try the Y for free. Visit any of the 7 Metro Detroit locations and get a free guest pass. Learn more at ymcadetroit.org and find what moves you today.
Buzzing about the Lions all morning long, and this afternoon, the Tigers will play playoff baseball. 2:05 right here, 97.1. Dan Dickerson will be on the call, and he joins us this morning. Dan, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Pretty damn good.
We're doing great. How do you feel knowing you got a playoff baseball game later today?
Oh, my gosh. It was so fun to go to the ballpark on Sunday and know that Monday was not the start of the offseason. But Tuesday was the start of the postseason. It was like, oh, I remember this. This is fun.
I guess the easy question to tie a bow on the season is, when did you, because you're around this team every single day. You talk to the players, you talk to the coaches, and at times it looked bleak. There's no question about it. But when did you think it was real and it was really going to happen that this team would be in the postseason?
I remember thinking that they certainly could get into the conversation, but I always felt like you got to be 500 and you got to be within five. And then they hit that day. I'm like, okay, they were 500 and they're within five. This is getting interesting. But really, it just, it wasn't that obvious one, except maybe, I think the road trip is when you realize it's going to happen. The last road trip, Kansas City, Baltimore, Kansas City really handed it to the Tigers this year, 7-3, outscored them by double. And then they sweep Kansas City with some amazing things. I mean, just kept making plays, whether it was Miller getting out of a bases-loaded jam in a 1-1 game in the fourth inning, and then another one in the fifth inning, or the plays that Parker Meadows kept making in center field. And then they go to Baltimore and take 2 out of 3. That's when I thought, okay, there's something pretty special. But it was the way they were doing it, and the way they were doing it with 5, 6, 7, 8 plays a night that led to a win. You kind of got the feeling, all right, something special is going on.
Yeah, you used the words to tell the story, but is there any comparable to this that you can remember in baseball?
No. Yeah, it's not just in Tigers franchise history, but a 33-11 run to get to the playoffs after you were when it started 8 games under the 500 mark, I don't think there's a comp anywhere. That's what
Incredible.
Makes it so special.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I'm going to put the other caveat in there. You have to look it up and see if someone's done it with 13 rookies on their roster.
That's what makes it so unbelievable. And at some point, it's whether it's the Little League World Series, it's the road trip that you mentioned, Kansas City, Baltimore, the Trey Sweeney catch, all of those different things, they start to all add up. And then you say it out loud at the end, and you say 33-11. Like, that to me is, it's unthinkable that this team ran in 44 games 33-11.
Yeah. Yeah, 31-13 to be precise. But no, but it was 31-11 to get to the postseason.
Yeah, right.
That was the clinching game. But yeah, I mean, whatever the number is, it's phenomenal and unprecedented and so fun to watch. I think the thing that I really enjoyed is just the brand of baseball, the number of players who have said in the last week, Joey Cora really got on us in Seattle. Like, what? Because they say he never talks in the meetings, but he just lit them up one day. And they all kind of, this was after the roster had changed, had gotten younger, more athletic, but they weren't running the bases any better. And Joey Cora made it clear with some very colorful language, apparently, that, hey, guys, let's start running the bases. I want to see you over at third. And Zach McKinstry said, we just looked at each other and said, okay. But that brand of baseball of putting pressure on opposing outfielders by running and making them make a mistake or hesitate on a throw, we've seen that more than a few times. That's a good brand of baseball. And then just, even though the defense hasn't been perfect, the big plays that the defense is making have been amazing. And it's all been led by the pitching, which that plan that Scott Harris and AJ put together is, you know, one of the most creative things I've ever seen. If you had asked anybody if they thought it would work like this, I'm not sure that anybody would have said yeah. But a 2.70 ERA the last 51 games, because of the plan that they put together to best use their pitching, phenomenal.
Yeah, some people might have said it could have worked for a week or two, but 7 weeks.
A couple.
Yeah. But to close the season, he's Dan Dickerson. He joins us this morning. The matchup with the Astros, like, the Tigers shouldn't win the series. They also shouldn't be here. How do you think they match up with the Astros?
Yeah, it's daunting on paper. and then you think, okay, how could they? Anybody can win 2 out of 3. Seriously, that's an absolute fact. All right, so the key is Tarik Skubal on the mound. Framber Valdez had a very good start against the Tigers. Skubal had one good start and another start where he gave up 4 against the Astros, but he pitched them tough. So he's got to be tough. Tigers have to figure out a way to scratch out a couple of runs in this start today when what will likely be, you would think, a tight, low-scoring game. Then A.J. Hinch gets to unload his bullpen in game 2 with all the arms that he needs, fresh, ready to go. Someone's going to be used today after Skubal, assuming he doesn't go 9. And I think that's the advantage the Tigers have. They've been doing it for 2 months. They'll use the entire bullpen if they have to get through 9 innings to win a game 2. But that to me is the whole six. You know, if they don't win game 1, it'll still be the same thing, just in a little bit different way. But I do think that to hold down this Houston offense, AJ's big on don't ever let them see the same guy 3 times. And really, with a bullpen this rested and this deep, they might not see the same pitcher twice in a game. And that's a big advantage to the Tigers.
So nobody wants to start the series off with Kerry Carpenter on the bench. What with Valdez being a lefty, kind of feels like that's going to be. How does AJ construct the lineup against Valdez?
It's a great question. because Andy Banez is, and he keeps going to him, he struggled against lefties in the second half, which is, but I think is at the point you're not going to change things because of that. So it's a great question, though. Do you want Carpenter in there? You know, Valdez just gets the ball on the ground, right? That's what you're going to do. I think Carpenter, I don't know, feels like Carpenter just might be in there today. It's just like he's put together a couple of at-bats against lefties lately. Or do you wait as that guy off the bench? No. Oh, boy, you're making me think out loud. That's a dangerous thing.
that's right. I've learned not to do math live, so we're going to put somebody else on the spot.
Well, I would say I'll go with the usual lefty lineup, which means Ibanez at the top. And probably 3 lefties total in against Valdez. We'll see, though. I should go back and look at the lineup they put in there when they faced him earlier in the year.
Yeah, well, it's early in the year. It's a different team. I mean, Javi Baez was there.
A different team, exactly.
Ryan Vallade was in the lineup back on May the 10th. AJ's got a few more pieces to play with. The playoff roster comes out, I believe, at 11. We'll make you speculate again here. He's talked about maybe not taking as many pitchers. What do you think the construction looks like?
I've been going back and forth on the 14-12 versus 13-13 thing. I lean toward 14-12, 14 position players, 12 pitchers, just because you can change it up again after a 3-game series. do you really need, you know, 12 pitchers or 13 pitchers, 12 after Tarik Skubal? I don't think you do. So I'm thinking he would rather have the flexibility of, because my guess would be it might be Justin Henry Molloy, right? If it's 13, if he drops down to 13 position players. But to have another additional right-handed bat when they're going to be able to bring in some lefties to face lefties, that makes sense to me. So we'll see. But I'm going with 14-12. I think I'm in the minority on that. Most people feel like he's going to keep it at 13 pitchers and 13 position players. But I just think because of the three-game series, because these guys are all rested and perfectly lined up to go the next 3 days, he'll go 14-12 to keep a little more position flexibility and options open on the position player side.
Talking to Dan Dickerson, voice of the Tigers here on 97.1 The Ticket. What do you say to the they lost momentum crowd because they lost Saturday and Sunday? Last question from us. Does that matter at all?
No. It just didn't. Because it was, as AJ said, it was all about lining up your pitching to be fresh and ready to go to face whoever you're going to play in the first round. So, you know, look who was used on Sunday. You know, Kenta Maeda got a start, Casey Mize. So I don't think so at all. Cater Montero, who will be on the staff. So I would say no. They didn't play great baseball, but they accomplished what they accomplished. And you got to think about the energy they expended.
Right.
Going 31-11 to get to the postseason on Friday. Saturday, Sunday, the motivation is not really there. I mean, and the pitching was not lined up at all like he was going to use it in the postseason. So nothing to those games. I don't think there'll be any problem getting ready for today's game.
No question about that. Dan Dickerson, we'll listen to you on the call later today. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, guys. Good talking with you. Take care.
It's 97.1.
Hey, we've got it's great time to be a Detroit sports fan. You've got baseball in October. Got some great football going on, whether it's Saturdays or Sundays. So why not dive into the best pool in history and watch some of those at that Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino. You can catch all those big moments at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot tall, high-definition screen, that Stadium Swim. And it's America's favorite place to watch all those moments that we just talked about. So you get swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party all day long. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
That's Carlton Davis after the game. Lions win. We just had Dan Dickerson on. Ticket Texter says he sounds giddy knowing he gets to call playoff baseball today. That feeling is mutual.
Yeah.
We're speculating with him. What do you do with Kerry Carpenter? John, as good a bat as he is, what got them here is playing matchups.
Yeah.
I don't expect him to be in the lineup for game one. That doesn't mean he won't play.
Right.
But
just not the start.
Chess match. If they go to a righty out of their bullpen, Kerry Carpenter should be the first bat off the bench for A.J. Hinch.
Yeah, then it just becomes, who is it that AJ's going to take out? Who's he going to pinch hit for?
Yeah, I mean, you'll need like an outfielder or a DH type to be up. But
right.
You can swap guys out afterwards. I expect them to go, you know, Veerling, Ibanez, Justin Henry Molloy's hit lefties, especially in the second half of the season here. Those guys should be in the lineup against Valdez, and then you play the matchups. It's what AJ's done all year. In fact, I love what he said about their pitching plan yesterday. He said, our plan, to give you a brief overview, Skubal tomorrow, chaos the rest of the way. And I think chaos the rest of the way is a hell of a slogan for this playoff push here.
Yep.
This potential run they could go on. Chaos the rest of the way. Matchups galore. Three outs from this guy, four outs from this guy. We're going to do what we have to do to find a way to get through the game.
It feels like it's been controlled chaos for 2 months because you had Skubal and Montero coming out of the trade deadline, and then it was group effort, group effort, group effort, undecided across the board. And now all of a sudden you're sitting here in the playoffs. Why go away from what got you here and just, hey, let's go with chaos?
One challenge. Houston hits lefties. That doesn't mean Scooble can't have a big day today, but Holton's your best reliever, also a lefty. There's going to be quite a chess match. All I would say is this. Houston should win this series. They're favored to win the series. They got the pedigree, the proven
Most
players.
Most people are picking them to win the series.
You were looking at the Free Press today.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 writers all picked Houston.
Houston should win. The Tigers shouldn't be here, but they are. And if the Tigers win game one, the odds say they win the series. So when the Scooble start, go from there.
Mm-hmm. And you've got Scooble on the mound. I think it will be interesting to watch Scooble and how he approaches this game, how he pitches in this game, because during the regular season, there's been nobody better. But it really, when it comes down to it, you want to test the best in the playoffs.
Yeah, and again, Dickerson goes, they'll have somebody after Scooble, assuming he doesn't go 9. I mean,
right.
Depends what kind of groove he's in. They're going to grind out at bats. Houston will take pitches. They'll try to draw walks. If Scooble at all comes out too amped up, misses the zone, that's when you start to sweat. Now, if he comes in dialed in, he's a Cy Young Award winner. He's a Triple Crown winner.
Yeah.
He throws seven or even eight innings. You love your chances today. I mean, if he keeps it to 1 run, 2 runs, you're always
in
the game.
There, yeah. If the conversation is, should they pitch him in the 7th or not, you got to believe things have gone well for the Tigers.
Yep. 248-539-9797. Tigers play a big game today. October baseball returns. It's a 235 first pitch, 205 coverage starts right here, 97.1. So let's get to Dan Campbell audio. Lions win, and these locker room speeches, we love playing this stuff.
Sure.
And Dan Campbell handed out a couple game balls. Here's how he addressed the team. Absolutely love it. Jared Goff doesn't get a game ball after going 18 of 18, 2 touchdown passes and a touchdown catch. But I have a hard time arguing. Kirby Joseph clinches the game. J-Mo, high-stepping 70-yard burst of speed on his touchdown. That was just a fun game. That was get your swagger back. That was rock those badass black jerseys at night, primetime spot, and beat a nemesis of yours. We'll get into it with TJ Lang in the 9 o'clock hour. William wants to get a Tiger thought in quick here. William and Gross Eel, you're on 97.1.
What's happening, guys? Really enjoy the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, just something to think about for Tigers fans, just throwing my 2 cents out there. You know, they've obviously had a great run, regardless of what happens in the playoffs. You got to be proud of this team. And something to think about while they're playing Houston. Justin Verlander, who I think is 3-5, makes more than the entire Tigers starting lineup.
Wow.
With that said, this team could win the World Series. I think we got a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, this is truly house money. No matter what happens, this has been a beautiful, miraculous success of a season, and one that people will remember forever. Because of just how miraculous it was. I mean, people don't necessarily even know all these guys. Casual fans that are just popping in going, wait, were these guys in the bullpen? Were these rookies in the lineup? And it's breathed life back into this city. This is a great baseball fan base. But they have very little to cheer about over the last 10 years. And now they're back in the playoffs, and now we have something to celebrate. Mike and Rico are actually sticking around late today. After this game today. Yeah, so if you want a bunch of Tiger breakdown, the game's going to be on our station. Should wrap up, I don't know, about 6 o'clock. Those guys will stay on late tonight. So a lot of Tiger baseball later on the station. TJ Lang will be in studio. We'll talk some more Lions, your phone calls, and his thoughts on that game last night. It's 97.1.